You're listening to Bedroom Beethovens, where notable music makers break down stories accompanied by songs and melodies documenting growth through their 10,000-hour journey. And me? Well, my name is Cello, your host.
I am a bedroom Beethoven.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 71 of the podcast.
What up? I usually have an intro, but fuck that shit this time.
My guest this week is...
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have a special guest in the house tonight performing live. It's Esham and the Hood Rat, straight off the east side, doing an original tune for you called Just a Hustler.
And baby, don't forget it. The Coca-Cola cooker, rocking to the scope aesthetic. I'm just a hustler. And baby, don't forget it. The Coca-Cola cooker, rocking to the scope aesthetic.
Think of the city of Detroit and pull whatever artist's name out of the hat. Even before they established themselves, there was another Detroit rapper and producer who was following a wildly idiosyncratic path, releasing albums on an independent label devoted to his own work. Esham's name is very familiar to almost every hip-hop listener in Detroit, but not really a whole lot of people outside Detroit. So I'm talking about a guy who released his first album in or around the high school era and hasn't done shit else since. And if that's not success, if that's not the American dream, I don't know what is. So I'm very honored to have him stop by. We chat about his legendary status and what he thinks of it, touring with Violent J of ICP and the often overlooked beauty of Detroit, and how after 30 years in the game, he's learning, growing, and evolving. But before we get to that, support the show by heading over to patreon.com/bedroombeethovens and give a buck or two. Give a little, get a little. You know, I'm talking about early access to episodes, stickers, swag, and more. And please like, comment, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts, even YouTube. I'm on there. And bedroombeethovens.com is the website where you can visit, reach out to me, and listen there as well. The bonus is there's a t-shirt on the website in the nav bar, so you can rep the show. High quality t-shirt, rock the threads, you know? All right, guys, Detroit is no stranger to the podcast, and I am very excited to host the man himself, Esham. So smoke a tree, turn up the acid rap, and let your mind free.
A Detroit hustler. Get your cake up, cake up, cake up.
Cool, man. I mean, you know, first off, at one point before podcasts were even a thing, I think you maneuvered your career in a way where you didn't really interact with people or doing interviews or allowing people to know things about you. So the fact that you're here, I recognize how huge that is. And Esham's name isn't on too many podcasts, so this is an honor.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited.
I mean, you know, Detroit's a place you've been repping for decades, to the point where, you know, real heads, if they know, you're synonymous with the city, but New York is where it began.
Yeah, man. I was actually born in New York, you know? So, I mean, you could say New York is the place where it actually started.
Well, what brought upon, I think you were like, what, two or three? I mean, what brought the move to Detroit?
Well, my mom moved to Detroit, you know, to start her career. But I was born in New York, and I was pretty much raised between New York and Detroit. So, you know, my grandmother and my whole, like, rest of my family base and my mother's side of the family was in New York, in Amityville.
I mean, and then by 10, you're putting out music. That's crazy.
I mean, I just caught the hip-hop bug like anybody else, you know, growing up in New York and just being a fan of hip-hop. And there was a lot of people, you know, that were... out back in the day, you know, a lot of people with a lot of originality, with a lot of stuff to choose from. And, you know, just like any other kid that got the hip hop bug, I was inspired to, you know, just pursue a hip hop career or just get more off into it. You know what I mean? So that's what started it. Just growing up in New York and listening to the earlier hip hop artists that were coming out and stuff like that.
Now, I think DJ Paul and Lord Infamous, they were also making music at 10, but they were making music in the church. So what was your platform? Was it church, talent shows, or were you just beatboxing in the lunchroom?
Growing up in Detroit, you got to realize that Berry Gordy had left the city, you know, like years before I was even thinking about music, you know. So there was no music scene. You know, Hitsville, USA was actually just a museum full of old Motown artifacts, you know, that was collecting dust for the last, I don't know how many years, you know. What actually just got me into it is just, you know, like I say, being a kid wanting to express myself in a different way. And I liked a lot of different kind of music. You know, it wasn't just hip hop. It was rock and roll. It was jazz. It was, you know, anything I can get my hands on. And I would listen to it and I would just be inspired by it. So, I mean, it started to take a, you know, organic form of its own when I was just younger. I really didn't have a style, you know, when I first started out, and I didn't put records out when I was actually 10. I was just like, you know, learning how to rhyme and, you know, getting my craft together. You know, I wasn't even fresh. If you ask me, you know what I'm saying? I was just like, I was a whack rapper, you know, not whack, but I was just getting myself together. You know, I didn't really know too much about the game or none of that stuff, you know, and I just had an older brother, which is Dead Boy, AKA James Smith. And he would just tell me stuff. He was like, man, you know, you can't be like Run DMC. You can't be like LL Cool J or any of those people. Like, you can like their music, you know, but you gotta do something different. You gotta be you. You gotta find your own niche. And, it took me some years, you know what I'm saying, to actually hone in on something that would later become my niche, you know, and that just, you know, like I say, Boomer Words from Hell was my first album that I actually recorded. I just got inspired by people like Prince, you know, and people like Ozzy Osbourne and, you know, AC/DC. Like, the reason I say Prince is because, you know, Prince had this thing about him that people used to, you know, his mystique. And there used to be all these crazy rumors about Prince back in the day. And, you know, it just, you know, fascinated me that people just misunderstood Prince to the point where they would start all kinds of rumors about Prince and just all this crazy stuff. So I was fascinated, you know, by that part of his career that, you know, he was able to capture people's attention like that, you know. So when I started making records, you know, I would just try to figure out ways where I can, you know, be different and capture people's attention in a way that wasn't being done at the time. Later down the line, you know, we coined it as acid rap, the wicked shit, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, there was all type of music out back in those days, you know. I mean, in the beginning, if you really want to take it back to the East Coast, when the East Coast, and what I mean by the East Coast, New York rap, hip hop, boom bap, you know, in the early 80s, you know, they had, we like to call it like, you know, it's almost like a championship ring, or, you know, football Super Bowl championship. They had what we would call like the ring, you know, and they held it down for many years. It was really hard to break into the New York market. If you were an artist, you know, you basically had to be from New York or knew somebody. And they kept that whole thing really like closed in, and you couldn't really get in New York, you know. So this is like the early stages of hip hop, though, you know. It was born in New York, so of course it would grow up in New York. It was a baby, and, you know, it was born in New York. So it was growing up in New York, and I'm talking about hip-hop. The people that was in control of hip-hop, they kind of, like, monopolized it and kept it to themselves over there. But hip-hop, like anything else that's good, would seep out, and it started to make its way across the country and in other parts of the United States and eventually the world.
6 in the morning, police at my door. Fresh Adidas squeaker across my bathroom floor. Out my back window, I make my escape. Didn't even get a chance to grab my old school tape. Mad with no music, but happy cause free. And the streets to a player is the place to be. Got a knot in my pocket weighing least a grand. Gold on my neck, my pistol's close in hand.
You know, so after the East Coast had the ring, the West Coast got it.
I'm a self-made monster of the city streets. Remotely control the hard hip-hop beats. But just living in the city is a serious task. Didn't know what the cop wanted, didn't have time to ask.
And the West Coast held it down with this thing called gangster rap. It was new. Nobody even knew what the hell this was. You know what I'm saying? It was a bunch of people talking about reality rap and fuck the police and just growing up in the hood in Los Angeles. And they were being like reporters, you know, and this was a time when hip hop's voice was very strong and powerful.
So you're listening to stuff like Guilty Until Proven Innocent by Triplex and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, well, when you talk about Detroit, yeah. But I'm talking about hip hop and how, you know, Detroit wasn't even, you know, a thought at that point. You know what I'm saying? So you had the East right. Coast, then you had the West Coast. And, you know, it was so hard for everybody to kind of like make money and make their way in it. I could understand why they would hoard it and kind of like, you know, try to keep it to themselves and didn't want anybody else to be a part of it or be a part of that region. When the West Coast, you know, when their reign started to die down, a place, you know, the South got it. You know, that's when all those Southern rappers started to get record deals and they started to get acknowledged in hip hop. Because for a long time, they had to sit out of the game. Like they felt some kind of way. They felt like people were looking at them like they were country bumpkins and like nobody understood them. So they finally got into the hip hop game with a couple of artists that got major deals and got some placement to get the ball rolling down there. If you see where I'm going with this. So you had the East Coast, you had the West Coast, and then you had the South with the ball, right?
Right.
Where we come from, the North, you know, in Detroit, you know, we never really got the ball. I mean, you can say with people like Eminem with his success that Detroit had the ball, but no, we didn't, because when Eminem actually blew up, he kind of came in with the West Coast and Dr. Dre and all of those people. So his success was not really the success of the region, if you understand what I'm saying. He got success from being affiliated with a major conglomerate and people like Dr. Dre and that whole coast. And it wasn't a win for the area where we come from, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, we still had to fight and claw our way to the top to get recognized or whatever, whatnot. And we still do have to do that right now because we don't have the ball. You know, there's a lot of people looking at Detroit, like the eyes of the world are on Detroit right now, but we don't have the ball, you know. But what we do have is a sound. And I will tell you about that sound. The spirit of Detroit, the sound of Detroit is the wicked shit. Now, I'll tell you like this. When New York had the ball and then the West Coast had the ball and then the South had the ball, right? I've watched everybody in this game go from the golden age of hip hop to reality rap to Southern party rap to spitting the wicked shit. You can't even really sell a record without spitting the wicked shit now. And what I mean by that is the imagery and the things that you're talking about, like the dark imagery and stuff like that. That is all acid rap. That is the wicked shit. That is expressing yourself in a creative way and not a violent way. This is the thing that I incorporated into the rap game and put there for people. I say, hey, look, you can express yourself any kind of way you want to. You know what I'm saying? Be real. Be free to express yourself in any way you choose to creatively. And that's what I feel like I brought to the game. And that's what I feel like the sound of Detroit is. And that's where you get to the eyes of the world being on Detroit today. But we don't have the ball as a collective, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do, because I think authenticity is a big thing, because I'm listening to your songs and you're talking about finding cockroaches in your socks and guns and drugs. And I, you know, my brother is a truck driver and he's been to Detroit and he says, there are no trailer parks up there. I don't understand what Eminem's talking about, what 8 Mile's depicting, but you grew up in the burbs, or I grew up in the burbs. So, you know, paint me a picture growing up in Detroit, scare me straight. Like, what's the real?
I mean, Detroit, I'll paint you a picture, but the picture I paint will be beautiful. Detroit is a beautiful city, man. I mean, Detroit has its fair share of problems. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not trying to discredit Eminem or Marshall or anything like that. I mean, 8 Mile was a great movie. It was a great, you know, it was like science fiction. You know, it was a made up story about a rapper from Detroit. It wasn't his life story, and it wasn't about the culture of Detroit. You know what I'm saying? So it was a great movie. It had great success, and kudos to him for that. But it wasn't a honest look at Detroit and the culture or the music scene. It was like a made up story, like Beat Street or something. Beat Street is not the end all be all to what hip hop is in New York. You know what I'm saying? Or the movie Breakin'. If you seen Breakin', it has nothing to do with, you know what I'm saying? Like the culture of hip hop, you know. But anyway, Detroit is a beautiful place, man. I grew up in Detroit right before crack came in. So I got to see the city when it was extra beautiful before, you know, the termites came in. It's like a bunch of termites got loose and it just started to rot from the inside and until it, you know, imploded. But it's coming back now, you know. I mean, if you go to Detroit and you might not understand it, it's like going somewhere and, you know, it's all about what you see. You know, you can look for the negative stuff in it, or you can choose to see the positive stuff in it or the beauty in it.
In the past, you've admitted that you didn't take rejection well, or you've been less than positive. But, you know, Isham, you know, as a human being, like, let me tell you a quick story. There's this guy named Roy Raymond who took a $40,000 bank loan. He opened up a store called Victoria's Secret. He made $500,000 that first year. After 5 years, he sells the company for $4 million. And you think that's a happy ending, but 2 years later, the company is now worth $500 million. He sold it, and he jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and killed himself.
Yeah.
And I always saw you as the guy yeah. who started Victoria's yeah. Secret.
And
people
that.
Like M and Kid Rock are Yeah, and they're the ones that took what you built, and now they live on Beverly Hills and gated communities. You know, so I always sympathize with you a little bit. Your feelings are very valid.
Yeah, man, I'm right there. I mean, I guess that's what being a suicidalist is all about. RIP to that guy. I mean, yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I don't know, man. It's hard. You know, I would want to be recognized for my contributions in music and stuff like that, but I couldn't tell you why. Why things are the way they are, man. You could only ask those other people. I couldn't tell you why Marshall's name starts with an M, but he spells it with an E and ends his shit with an M. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't tell you that. I couldn't tell you why all this stuff is happening like this, man. You
well, know? How about like...
I try not to jump off a bridge. Let me tell you that. You know what I'm saying? How about
it
that?
Commands so much respect for me because, like, you know, I heard Poe Hussein said that Kid Rock was real humble back in those days. And now you see him playing golf with Donald Trump. And it's just like, you know, when Trick Trick decides to make an album and he puts you two on a track way after that fact, I mean, I have to ask myself, like, man, was Isham cool with that? But maybe you're just doing it for the love of music.
Well, I mean, I'm cool with Trick Trick. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Trick Trick gave me a call and he said he had a track. And, you know, at the time, Proof was still alive and stuff. And, you know, Trick Trick was like, man, you know, y'all need to work all this stuff out. So, you know, Trick Trick, you know, played a part in me and Proof even squashing our disagreement.
Don't be an eyewitness if I'm not mistaken. Just listen, niggas cooking in the kitchen. A murder was committed, I would fit in the description. A Detroit nigga scantless, I'm an assassin. Trick Trick ain't gotta hit him, I already blast him. My name is P, I'm from the D.
And, you know, the things we were disagreeing about was just silly. It was childish stuff, you know. But, you know, at the time we both, you know, felt strongly about our views about hip-hop and, you know, what was at stake in Detroit and what was being given up to certain, you know, causes and individuals that were not, you know, for the culture, man, and not, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? That's what we were fighting about.
I want to create a moment here, all right? Let's see if we can squash another beef, because I just talked to House Shoes the other day, and I wanted him to come on here and say some things about Detroit and you. He says hi, by the way, but he says he didn't want to come on and prop you up because you dissed him on Rebirth of Detroit.
Listen, I ain't diss him. Fuck House Shoes. He did my Duke's numbo. You know, he was out there doing some bullshit on Diller name, if you really want to keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't got nothing against him, but he just like anybody else from Detroit. If you don't want to tell the truth.
I always thought it was the throw the old House Shoes out and get some new slippers line that I thought he was offended.
Yeah, whatever. That was for my Dukes, because House Shoes was out there doing some bullshit on Dylan A.
That was 10 years ago, though. Why can't Detroit just get along? Matter,
don't do that shit, man.
Yeah.
Why can't Detroit just get along? Don't be doing no foul shit. That's the thing about it. People think you forget about the whole shit that they do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just everything on the city. Like, Detroit is a hard place. Like, you know, you it's a hard place to get respect from, man. So if you do some bullshit out there in Detroit, they're going to call you on it. And I don't have nothing against House Shoes. That was just for my dudes. Like, that was me saying I got your back, and everybody in the city had her back. Like, you don't go out there. You don't even have nothing to do with Jay Dilla. That's not your brother. That's not even your family member. You understand what I'm saying? That's like you dying, and then I come and get some of your work and then put it out, and, you know, and your family, like, what are you doing? Wouldn't your family be looking at me like I'm crazy? And even back in the day, man, like a lot of these people, man, they got to keep it real with themselves, man. Don't go out there and just try to profit off somebody else's name that you had nothing to do with, the success or anything.
And like, here's another example. This example has nothing to do with you, but I do have another Detroit example. In the early 90s, you had Rolling with Strength. I think it was Mr. Bones, Hectic, and who? I think it was Rock. And Soul, you're producing for them.
Well, yeah, all that was back in the day. That's when, you know, everybody wanted some of the sauce, man.
Yeah, Soul credits you as the guy who started it all. He does, but he also admits to biting your style. And his theory is you don't steal from the best, but you kind of pattern yourself after the best. So he admits to taking your style. ICP,
whatever.
Well, I mean, that's cool, but ICP comes along and gives House of Crazy a better record deal, and they took it. So now you have childhood friends in East Detroit, a couple blocks from where you grew up, and they broke up over money and opportunity, and that's all it takes. They've been friends since they were 7 years old, and something like that came and broke them up. So it's really sad.
Man, you got to realize everybody that came across in contact with the Wicked shit wanted some of it. This, I didn't just make a record, man. I made a genre. Do you understand, like, what that is? That's like somebody coming in and making a new rock and roll, and now it's not called rock and roll no more. It's called the Wicked shit, right? So, of course, you're going to want to do what I'm doing. Of course. I am flattered by all those guys that do that, man. You know, even when they say, oh, man, I do it better than him. Okay, whatever. You know, but that's not the point, man. I'm flattered, and I did this so you could make some money and so you could, you know, find your way out here, man. You know, I'm just here to show you the way, man, and show you the way to the light, man. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And I just happened to be doing the Wicked shit. And I got threw off with that bullshit and that House Shoes shit. And no offense, and I ain't got nothing against House Shoes. I don't want people to listen to this and think that. You know, this was just all about that Jay Dilla shit. And he kind of rubbed me the wrong way. People be out here faking like they DJs, you know? Like, I don't know. If you don't got two turntables and you just got some CDRs, are you really a DJ?
L.A. seems, you know, connected East, you know, boom bap East Coast rap. They seem connected, but Detroit seems divided.
That's not true. All these people is just working, you know, just because people come from Detroit, that's cool. You know, you can support them from afar. You can be like, okay, yeah, they're my peoples. But you got certain people in this game that are straight up, you know, baller block you or, you know, intentionally do something to block, you know, your lane. You know what I mean? And them the people I'm talking about, them the people that just need to get out the way, that's not doing nothing for the city, that ain't doing shit, man. That's, you know, just in the fucking way. If you're an artist or a DJ, come up off your own shit. Come up off your own name. The way people do shit nowadays is just whack. You know, everybody got to be, oh, yeah, that's such and such little son or, you know, that's them people. Like, make your own fucking name. You know what I'm saying? And when somebody say your name, make sure they just saying your fucking name. Don't attach your name to, you know, one of our brothers that we fucking love and hold dearly. We're not going to hold you with that same respect. You know what I'm saying? Is that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, you got...
I'm just trying to keep it real with you, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to keep it all the way real with you.
I appreciate that. I mean, you got to be an innovator. You know, I'm listening to, when I was a kid, I was listening to Busta Rhymes' Extinction Level event, and he sampled Ozzy Osbourne, and people lost their fucking mind. And people didn't realize you were doing that way before Post Malone and Ozzy Osbourne were doing songs. You're sampling heavy metal way back in the day, and nobody in rap was doing that at the time. That's innovation.
Well, I mean, I appreciate you, you know, seeing that, man. It's just different times, man, when originality meant something. You know, and that's just what I'm saying. When originality meant something, when coming up off your own merit meant something. You know, that's where I come from. Like, I can't get off into people that just want to come up off somebody, man, without doing no work. And just, you know, you don't want to pay no dues, but you just, you know, you want to be right there, you know, and it's crazy to me, man.
It's timing, too. I mean, like, why did why did M and Machine Gun feud when he could have feuded off you with Chemical Imbalance?
I'm glad he didn't feud with me, man. I don't have nothing against that guy, man. You know, he did what he did. You know, he is who he is. You know what I'm saying?
Aren't really beefs, though. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's just a way to push records, isn't it?
I wouldn't say all of that. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, like I said, I have nothing against that man. You know what I'm saying? And you know, a lot of people dislike me for just shedding some light on the situation, man, about that guy, you know, because he's everybody's favorite. You know what I mean? Like, he reached a level of success that people will sell out their mama trying to get next to him. He got people sitting around him right now that'll lie till they die. They mama say, don't fuck with him. They gonna fuck with him anyway. Because they think that he could do something for them, man. And that's the evils of this game. If somebody think that you could do something for them or that they could get something from you, there's no limit to what they'll do. And it's just like, that's how evil this game is for people that don't know nothing about it.
Yeah. I heard Chaos Kid committed suicide because M never responded to his public letters.
He probably did. I mean, Champ Town got a whole movie about this type of stuff, man. I come from Detroit, and I just stand on the side of righteousness when it comes to Detroit, man. And, you know, I'm sorry about all the negativity I just said about house shoes and all that shit, because, you know, I didn't smoke my weed.
Well, okay. Well, there's a place called Record Time in Detroit, and that's kind of like the venue where if you're trying to get a little bit of buzz in Detroit, they kind of pushed you back then too, right?
No, they did not push you back then. Record Time was just a record store, man. Record stores do not push you. They're not in the business to push you. They just sell your records. Record Time was a popular record store. You understand what I'm saying? Just like Harmony House was. Just like fucking Musicland was. There were many popular record stores. Record Time, yes, was one of them. If you had your records in Record Time, hey, some kids might have knew where to pick them up at. And the guy that ran that store was a real cool guy. You know, like most of the people in business in the record stores in Michigan, those were good friends of ours. You know, like we watched the whole bottom of the record business fall out with the internet and all that stuff. A lot of families lost their business. I watched a lot of good friends go out of business, you know, when the change happened. The music business has changed tremendously, and it's still teaching people like lessons, like life lessons.
So if you're performing at places like St. Andrews or Monday Night C Notes, it doesn't mean as much now as it did back then?
I think it means just as much now if you're performing there. If you're performing anywhere, it means a lot. You know what I mean? As an artist, you know, I just think you should take it all serious. You know what I'm saying? If you're an artist and you're trying to get out there, performing anywhere, it means a lot, you know. Even those little spots in the city where, you know, before St. Andrews was just St. Andrews before people, you know, made it famous. You know what I'm saying? It was just a little bar that community made famous. So the people in the community make these spots hot, you know.
I wanted to fast forward to Venus Flytrap because you said it was going to be your last album. And as we can see, it's not. And then I know you just wanted
to make it. At the time it was, I was damn near about to jump off a bridge, but that's what it be.
What were you? You weren't tired of rap. You were probably just tired of the politics, right?
Tired of life, man. You know, I mean, it's so many people that like when you're doing this, and then and you probably if you've rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, like I have, you know what I'm saying? Which is like, damn, that's fucked up. You don't know who's your friend or your foe, man. You don't know who's who up out in here. You know what I'm saying? You got a small selected few of people that you could deal with, but you don't know friend from foe. So that's might've been why I was like, man, this might be my last album. Cause it's a lot of shit to deal with in this business.
You know? Well, I mean, just this year, Bizarre put you in the top three, Detroit legends.
You know, I hate the word legend because people misuse that word. They throw that word around like so loosely. And I just feel like I got one leg in, you know, L-E-G-E-N-D, one leg in the game.
Whoa, 20 albums and 30 years in the game, you feel like you're just halfway in the pool?
I don't feel like I'm a legend, man, because I don't know if people respect that like they should.
Well, you can't be a self-proclaimed legend. Other people have to.
Right, and you never hear me saying that. You know, I don't say that. I'm just telling you how I feel about it. You know, like a lot of people say that shit. Like, oh, he's a legend. What the fuck does that mean? You know, Michael Jackson's a legend. Prince is a legend to me. You know what I'm saying? I never met them, but they're legends to me. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, I don't know. I'm just a person, man. You know what I'm saying? That just keep trying. I got a suicidal drive to do shit. You feel what I'm saying? And you know, sometimes I get stuck on some bullshit, man. Like, you know, like I say, you know, like I haven't been the easiest person to deal with. You know, I get up in my feelings and shit. And, you know, this whole industry, man, just not being accepted by my peers. Like, I don't know no famous people outside of maybe Ice-T and ICP that have publicly said, yo, E is the shit. Like, I like his music. But I would see, you know, stuff from, you know, I would see my influence in other people's work, but they won't publicly acknowledge me. And that shit gets to me a little bit sometimes. You know what I mean?
When Apollo Brown released Sincerely Detroit, were there any talks of you appearing on that?
No, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, no, I don't, I haven't spoken with any Detroit artists like that. I really keep to myself. I don't really talk to people like that.
The new body of work, She Loves Me Not, is this Esham the rapper or Esham the MC? Has that line ever blurred?
I don't even like to call myself a rapper, man. I'm an artist, man. People do not respect rappers, man. You say you a rapper, you might as well say, hey, I sell kilos. That's how they look at you. If you say you a rapper. People do not respect that shit. People need to look at me like they look at fucking Bob Dylan. Like they look at Prince or Michael Jackson. Don't look at me like I'm Eminem. I'm not a fucking rapper, man. Because I feel like my music, I'm putting a lot into that shit, man. I'm not just making jibber jabber. People call you a rapper, man. It's almost disrespectful, man.
But if the pipes in my house are busted and a plumber comes over and fixes it, and he does it because he wants money and he isn't passionate about fixing my busted pipes, why don't I trip out? But if a rapper does it for the money, people are quick to jump on them. It's only with hip hop where it's like that.
I don't know, man. It's just, it's weird, man. It's weird how people look at all of this stuff, you know. I don't know why it's like that, but I would think the rap gods had something to do with it, or, you know, Thanos and all those guys, whatever the fuck is running shit. You know, it's just weird, man. You know, but I'm glad hip hop came, because hip hop has brought a lot of people together that it probably wouldn't have brought together. It showed a lot of people how to have rhythm. It put bass into country music and rock and roll, and, you know, you're welcome. You know, all those genres, you know, that didn't know how the shit went. They didn't have a clue to the formula. Now everybody has a clue to the formula. And that's what hip hop did. Hip hop won the war, y'all. On some real shit. It won the war. And they know it did. That's why I sit back and I'm happy, you know, for hip hop for winning the revolution, man. Hip hop won the fucking revolution all around the world. People just don't want to fucking admit to it.
I mean, if we're talking present day, man, when you woke up this morning, do you wake up with no regrets? Do you still feel like maybe if I had that business meeting, maybe if I ate dinner with one or two more people, a door that was otherwise closed could have opened up? Or do you just like you embrace the day, move forward? I mean, where's your head at nowadays as an artist?
Oh, I'm all in it. I mean, as an artist, my head is always in a great space, you know. I don't have regrets or stuff like that. There's things that I wish I would have did. Like anytime somebody says something negative about my music, like call me a devil worshiper, or said, yo, Esham's the leader of the Illuminati, or just, you know, whatever. He's the commander in chief of the rock and roll army. No, that one's true. But anytime they said anything negative about me, I should have corrected them. You know, I just never did. I just would let any crazy rumor fly. I just let people say whatever they say, because I was like, well, any press is good press until it created this, I don't even know what to call it. It's this thing that's on me that is bigger than me. My shadow is bigger than my person. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, when this podcast episode comes out, the last thing I want to do is for it to create any problems. I want to tell more people about your music, tell more people about you, the man behind the music. So that's my goal.
No, for sure. For sure, for sure. And I appreciate that. I wish that there was more people in hip hop, actually like Proof, that could bring more people together in hip hop. You got all these people that, you know, get famous and go and run and hide behind closed doors, man. And I don't think that's not what hip hop is about, man. You know, hip hop is out in the street. Hip hop is, you know, it's not scared of nothing, man. Hip hop is out there, man. And a lot of people get famous and get rich off of hip hop and forget what it's like to be that struggling artist going in that club, playing for those 10 people, or, you know, you can never forget what that feel like. And you can never, you know, to me, turn your back on that. And not if you're a true artist, and you know what I'm saying? And if you love the music, you know, because that's really what it's all about for me, the music. I'm just here for the music and the entertaining purposes. You know, I try to put a message in there every now and then for people, but, you know, for the most part, I'm just trying to entertain people, and I hope people get something out of it, you know, my time on this planet, man.
Yeah, I'm hoping when this pandemic's over, we can get back to performing, and we can perform for the people and share more music and, you know, blow some trees with the fans and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't want to be doing no concert in my bedroom. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. Shout out to, I mean, that's cool that for anybody that's doing it. I'm not dissing it, but I don't want that to be the new normal. You know what I'm saying? I know this type of thing has happened 100 years ago or whatever, whatnot, but, you know, nothing like this has ever happened in our lifetime. And it definitely has. I've always known what's important in my life. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, giving people time to realize what's important in their life, and hopefully, you know, they're taking advantage of the time.
When we're done here and you spark one up, do you ever smoke Brain Wreck, or is it like just the normal stuff?
Oh shit, I smoke everything, man. I smoke Brain Wreck. I smoke fucking that raspberry sherbet is really good. Wedding cake is my favorite right now. Yeah, man, I got a lot of homies that's farmers. Shout out to all the farmers and the essential workers and all the people that's on the front lines and stuff like that, you know. I just don't want to come across like as a bitter person. You know what I'm saying? Cause I'm not bitter, and, you know, and I don't want to come across as the Victoria's Secret guy, like, you know, wanting to jump off a bridge or whatever, whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Cause I definitely don't want to do that, man. I'm very privileged. You know what I'm saying? I got a good view of it, man. And I don't know if I got to see it so I could tell somebody, hey, it ain't so bad, but, you know, maybe, somebody, the way I got to see it was, you know, just, I feel like I've been learning more than, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm learning, like, it's constant. I'm learning every day. So all this time I've been learning. So even if, you know, my records are not fucking 10 million diamond platinum or whatever, whatnot, I've always been learning every day. I'm just a student to the game, and I'm learning and learning and learning. So, you know, that's what I like to do, is just learn and, you know, hopefully be able to share that knowledge with people.
You know? Yeah. If you're learning and growing, then I want to invite you back on the show every time you release a project, and we can document that growth if that's cool with you.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I'm totally down with that, man. Shit. Even with, like, I was in a funky mood cause all this fucking equipment wasn't working and shit. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't in the right headspace when we started this, but I'm cool now.
Did I turn it around?
Yeah, you turned it around. You turned it around a little bit. I got certain triggers too. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my God. You know, but.
Well, let me do you a favor on top of that, man. I want everyone to go to acidrap.com/shop because he's got snap hats, pins, patches, shirts, socks, everything you need. And I mean, you're not going to call yourself a legend, but you're not going to stop me from calling you a legend, man.
Hey,
and
I really, kind,
I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate the interview and just the insight. I love Detroit. I love underground artists, you know, and I love Detroit especially because I'm just from there. I grew up there, but I have met a lot of amazing artists out there. You know, I hope nobody gets discouraged by anything I say here today, but keep doing your thing, man. And you know, if it's dope like that, you know, people will gravitate towards it and find you out there in the universe.
One of these days, you're going to see me at one of your shows, man. Put me on the VIP list. We'll kick it, man.
Nah, you're in there, you know, no problem, man. Thanks for having me on the show, man.